Well, Psalm chapter 1 this morning, this is a psalm. If you'll realize, most of the psalms are attributed to somebody in the scriptures. There's just a few that don't have a title at the beginning of who it's attributed to. And one of those psalms that's not attributed to actually somebody writing it is the first psalm. It's actually the first two psalms. The first psalm starts with a blessing. It says, "Blessed is the man," that ends with a curse. It says, "The ungodly shall perish." The second psalm starts with a curse. Why do the heathen rage? And why do the people imagine a vain thing? And it ends with a blessing. "Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." And so these two psalms are kind of married together. In the Old Testament days, nobody knew who wrote these two psalms. There's no historical record of who wrote them. By way of Acts chapter 4, we realize that David wrote Acts chapter 2, or at least it's attributed to him, or somebody wrote it and it was his thoughts. But we see in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 4, that the second psalm is attributed to David, but we don't know about the first psalm. And I just like to attribute it to God this morning. God has this for us. It starts this book off. It's an amazing chapter of the Bible. It starts this comforting book of God's Word. I want to read it with you, and we'll probably read this probably about 20 times throughout the year and just kind of come back to it and say, look, this is how God says we're going to grow. This is how God says we're going to be able to come alongside of Him and His Word and be able to grow as God's people. So let's look at it together. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." It's not a very long psalm. It doesn't take a lot of time to read it. Matter of fact, it doesn't take a long time to memorize it. And I would encourage you this year to take the first psalm of God's Word and memorize Psalm 1 and just realize every single day what God is saying through this chapter of His Word. As you start off in Psalm 1 in verse number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Obviously, the theme this year is grow. And how do you get to that point where the Bible says in Psalm 1:3, paraphrasing, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." How do you get to that place of prospering? How do you, when you're working, how do you prosper? When in your marriage, how do you prosper? In your relationships and friendships, how do you prosper? What are some of the things we can do to get some prospering and some success? The Bible says, "And then he shall have good success." Sorry about that. Some good success. What was that? That's a head cold and breathing in too fast. But man, I snorted in the middle of a sermon. I've heard some Southern preachers do that on purpose. They get going so fast. But I see in this first verse is the key to that happiness. In the original language, in the Hebrew Old Testament, you would look at this word "blessed" and you think, okay, so is this a blessed? It's a singular word, but in the original, it's actually a plural word. It's actually a word that would translate today as the blessednesses or the happinesses or even a phrase that would be like happy, happy, like really, really, really happy is the man. And we all want that, don't we? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing sad people. I'm tired of seeing a discouraged world. I'm tired of seeing a depressed church where God's people aren't excited about the things of God. And I want our church to be different than that. I want our church to be blessed. I want, and sometimes we think, blessed, that means I get a new house and I get a new car and I get a new job and I get a higher paying job and my marriage is great. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't mean that you get things and then you become happy. It means you find your happiness in God, you find your blessedness in God, and then you get to go through those things. And it's not a promise of bigger houses and bigger cars and nicer things and newer clothes. That's not what this passage is saying. It's talking about the things you put your hand to will be prosperous. The people you're trying to witness to, the family you're trying to raise, the children you're trying to raise for the Lord, it becomes something that is a blessing in your life. Blessed is the man. I want to talk to you this morning about number one, the godly man's path. The godly man's path. You see in the first three verses a synopsis of the saints. A synopsis of the saints. In the second three verses, verses 4, 5, and 6, you'll see a synopsis of the sinner. You will see what God says about the saint, and you will see what God says about the sinner. You will see what God says about the godly, and you will see what God says about the ungodly. You will find out from God's Word what it means to be godly and how to be godly and what God says is required for godliness, and then you will see what God says is the path of the ungodly. But the godly man's path is not an easy one. The godly man's path is not something that we just kind of just happen upon. The godly man's path is one that is separated. It is separated. I want you to understand that this morning. We've kind of gotten away from, in our churches, some preaching on holiness. Some preaching on separation. And listen, I believe in separation. I'm not talking about oppressive standards either. I'm not talking about cult-like following. I'm not talking about you have to do what I say and that makes you a godly person. That's not what this is about. That's about searching God's Word and figuring out what kind of music are you going to listen to and praise God with? What kind of job are you going to take on that brings honor and glory to God? What are you going to take in as entertainment for your family? How are you going to dress? Where are you going to go in your life? What are people going to see about your family? What is your standard of living? What is your thing where you say, this separates us from the world? Our thinking ought to be different. Our standards ought to be different. Our ideals ought to be different. And we've got to get to the place where we understand what God's saying. The godly man's path starts with separation. It starts with saying, there's just certain things I'm not going to do. There's just certain things I'm not going to say. There's just certain places I'm not going to go. There's just certain things I'm not going to do in my life because I don't believe that it is going to bring honor and glory to God. In the world's thinking, in the world's philosophy, they always talk about starting every day with the power of positive thinking. Man, if you just wake up and say, it's going to be a good day, guess what? It's going to be a good day. That's a bunch of hogwash. There's days I get up and I say, oh man, this probably ain't going to be so good. It doesn't matter what I think. My stomach's going to do what it wants to do. And my legs are going to feel the way my legs are going to feel. And the problems that are all in my life are not going to just disappear because I say, you know what? I have no problems. Listen, I heard somebody say the other day, you need to get that book called Every Day's a Friday. And I realized in my life, there's a lot of Mondays. Anybody have those? It's like Thursday and it still feels like Monday. And Friday's never going to... Every day of Friday. What are you talking about? Probably a good title would be Every Day's a Sunday. That's probably good thinking. But the Bible, God Himself starts an entire book, one of the greatest books of the Bible. We would say, if you need comfort, if you need guidance, if you need some love and some comfort from God, you start with Psalm 1. And the entire book starts with negative thinking. The entire book starts off with, do not do this. That kind of just throws all of that crazy advice that some people give right out the window. It's not about positive thinking. It's about godly thinking. It's not about positive thinking. It's about scriptural thinking. And we think the way the Bible says, and we think the way that God shows us to think, and then we can go throughout the day and say, God, I'm here to please You today. I'm here to serve You today. I'm here to spread Your name today. I'm here to witness for You today. I'm here to work for You today. I'm here to honor You with my marriage today. I'm here to honor You with my children today. I am here to do what You want me to do. And God says, okay, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to be a person that is a saint that prospers, a Christian that prospers, that shows the world that God's people rise above, that God's people get through the issues and go through the valleys of the shadow of death because God is with us. If you want to show people that God is with you and He's never left you and He's never forsook you, one of the things you've got to start with is separation. The godly man's path is a separated path. The Bible says that narrow is the way to godliness. Narrow is the way to heaven. And few there be that find it. Broad is the way to destruction. Listen, this is not something where everybody is doing it. I'm really against this kind of Christianity that tries to blend into culture. I don't believe that we should blend into culture. I don't believe it. I think that our language ought to be different. I think our look ought to be different. We should be in the world, but we should not be of the world. We should not have their ideas. We should not have their thinking. We should not have their philosophies on life. Our philosophy and thinking on life ought to come from God's Word. And God's Word says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Say there was a Christian that got stopped for a very high speed limit in a very low speed limit area. Don't laugh at me. I didn't do it. I have done it, but I'm not talking about me. But the policeman stops them and writes them a ticket and a citation and says, you have a hearing in the judge's court on such and such a date. The man shows up with his counsel, his lawyer, and begins to go through the process of the court thing and gets on the stand and he calls the officer that wrote the citation up on the stand. The lawyer says, did you write this citation? The officer says, yes, of course I did. And he said, did you put this date on here, April the 24th? Yes, sir, I did. And he says, well, Judge, I just want to let you know that the officer that wrote the citation for April the 24th is fine, but my client was not in the country on April the 24th. Now, is the man guilty for speeding? The judge throws the gavel down and he says, he is not guilty, he's acquitted, the case dismissed. Out of a technicality. Because the officer might have put down the wrong date. Now, all of us would say, escape that one. We got out of that one. Whew. Because of a technicality. The officer knows he's guilty. The prosecutor knows he's guilty. The judge probably even knows he's guilty. And matter of fact, the person sitting there that gets off knows he's guilty. But we in our philosophy and in our day and age, if we can get out of something, we think, man, that's wonderful. You know what that is? That's the counsel of the ungodly. We have this idea that we can, if we can get out of this bill because they made a mistake, or if I can get money back because they didn't do their job, or if I can get something free from this restaurant because they made a mistake, we have this philosophy that we're just going to if it benefits me, then it's all good. I call that the counsel of the ungodly. I call the counsel of the ungodly when we go to ungodly people for godly advice. How dare we as God's people go to an ungodly, unspiritual person and say, do you think I should get this job? What in the world does that person know about getting a godly job? What does that person know about what the pitfalls are in a job that could trip up a godly person? to go to somebody for marital counsel that has got a bad marriage, that just doesn't even make sense. It's going to counselors that I don't want to name anybody specific, but there's somebody on television that is a huge star. And he gets on television and has a daily program counseling people in their marriages. And he was in a divorce that cost him $30 million because he made an impropriety, a mistake in his marriage. And it cost him his marriage over an affair with another woman. And he sits on television every single day telling people how to have a good marriage. Are you kidding me? But people tune in 4 o'clock, 4:30. I got to hear what he says. He's an amazing person. I got to read his book. You need to throw his book in the garbage can and get to church and get some godly counsel. What I'm saying is we can't, this person, they got a good show. They got good advice. If that person is not godly, it's the counsel of the ungodly. And the Bible says the very first thing that's going to lead to you being prosperous and you being happy in God's will is if you will begin to not take counsel from ungodly people. We've got to be careful what we watch. We've got to be careful what books we read. We've got to be careful what situations we get ourselves into or what situations we try to get ourselves out of. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not. He does not listen to counsel from ungodly people. If you're having trouble in your marriage, and listen, maybe you don't want to come to me as your pastor. That's fine. But go to somebody who's godly. Go to somebody with a good marriage. Go to somebody that you believe can help you. Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you about my problems. Who's going to try to lead you in the right direction? Who's going to give you the counsel that's going to lead you back to the paths of righteousness for His name's sake? That's what it's about. Your marriage, we need your marriage to be good. Why? Yes, I want you to be happy, but the Bible says your marriage is a picture of Christ and His love for the church. Christians' marriages are about a picture of Christ and how He sacrificed Himself for the church. How are we going to have bad marriages and then think that we're going to help God's cause? And that's what it's about. It's about His namesake. It's about lifting up His name. It's about my business practices need to be above board. My marriage needs to be above board. My friendships need to be above board. My entertainment needs to be above board. Why? Because the Bible says you cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly and then expect to be that tree that prospers. It's just not going to happen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He does not linger with the sinners. He does not listen to the counsel of ungodly people, and he does not linger in the way of sinners. We have got to separate ourselves from worldliness. But you cannot stand in the way of a sinner and not learn his ways. Bible says to stand not in the way of an angry man, lest thou learn his ways. If you hang around angry people all the time, you will become an angry person. You cannot go to a bar every single day with a bunch of drunk people and not eventually take a sip of alcohol. You're not going to be able to watch television too long before that stuff starts to bore you and you kind of go further than that. You can't be addicted to the computer and sit on a computer and surf for 5 and 6 hours a day without getting yourself in some kind of trouble. It's just not going to happen. The Bible says your happiness and your prospering and the true happiness of God's people is from not lingering in the way of sinners. We've got to be careful with it. We've got to be careful with where we go. We've got to be careful with what we do. We've got to be careful because not only is our testimony at stake, but God's testimony is at stake. We cannot listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go to ungodly people for godly advice. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't linger with sinners in the things that you know are wrong, the things that you know are in God's Word. Don't linger there because it will simply get you in trouble eventually. And then I have this as number three, not standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We do not laugh. We do not laugh in the sea of the scornful. We do not laugh at the things of this. The Bible says the scorner is a mocker. The scorner is somebody who tells rumors and gossips. The scorner is one who causes division amongst the brethren. It's a person who literally in that day, the Bible says that there are scribes that sat in the seat of Moses in Matthew chapter 7. Anyways, the Bible says that they sat in the seat of Moses. That meant that they were experts of the law, but they would use the law to discredit the message of Christ. What happens today, if you're not careful, you'll have your face shaken by scorners. They'll say, well, why do you go to that church? I believe it's the church my family ought to go to. We believe it's the closest thing to the Bible. We believe that we're supposed to be there. It's strengthening our family. Well, they believe this, and they do this, and what about this? And listen, you better get away from the scorner. You better get away from the person that's questioning the things that are going on all the time. I'm for questions, but I'm for asking the Bible questions. I'm for when I have a question, I'm going to the Bible for my answer. We have seminaries today. I've been reading about some seminaries, and somebody mentioned one the other day, and they said, do you think this is a good college? And so I began to look it up, and they have a professor that doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. At a Bible college. He's actively teaching that the virgin birth of Christ is scientifically not possible and is certainly not spiritually possible. So we're going to send our kids to a place where they're going to discredit the very deity of Christ and His perfectness? There's another professor in that Bible college that they let actively question the inerrancy of God's Word and the perfectness of the Word of God. They want the young people to know what they believe, and so they put a professor in there that constantly, in every single day, in every single class, actively questions the perfectness of God's Word so the young people can figure out what they believe and not just believe what somebody told them. I'm telling you right now, that's the seed of the scornful. That is sitting under somebody who is a divider of the brethren. That is sitting under somebody who is trying to shake somebody's faith. That is a scorner. That is a person that needs to be separated from. That is a person that needs marked. That is a person that you should not be around. And listen, the Bible says if you're going to be the person that God wants you to be, you cannot be a person that laughs and that sits and that lingers and that listens to the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You cannot. Well, I just want to see it from their viewpoint. Wait a second. They're scorners, the Bible says. And listen, do they might have a decent point? Yeah, but it's certainly not the way to handle it. The scornful person is causing division. The person who truly wants to know an answer is a person that finds the answer and goes to the person who can actually make a difference about that and mends the situation by taking care of it the right way. Bible says the seat of the scornful, the elevated position of the scorner, the person who has some credit, and they're trying to shake the faith of others. Bible says if we're going to grow, the godly man's path is one of separation. But may I say this? The godly man's path is a path of studying. It's a path of being studious. The Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I call this the godly, number two, the godly man's pleasure. The godly man's pleasure. In verse number two it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's a man that doesn't just take somebody's word for it. The Bible says his delight is his satisfaction is in studying the Word of God. You ever heard somebody try to quote the Bible that has no idea what they're quoting? Doesn't it say somewhere in there that God helps those that help themselves? I mean, somewhere in there, isn't it? My Bible says God helps those who can't help themselves. Oh, yeah. Isn't there somewhere in there the Bible says pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? No. It says that God lifts us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon a rock. He puts a new song in our mouth and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. It does say that. But there's a lot of people that know about the Bible and know about God, but they don't know God. And they don't know the Scriptures. The Bible says true happiness in the Christian life and a truly prosperous Christian life and a life that is growing and a church that is growing is a church that its satisfaction comes from God's Word. It's where we find the answers to life from the Bible. The issues of life answered from the Scriptures. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, God's word is so important. God's word is so important in the life of a Christian. It's when you decide, I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to linger with those old friend of mine. I'm not going to go apart, be a part of those old habits. And I'm certainly not going to be a part of those people who make fun of godly things and try to shake the faith of those that are godly and that are trying to do what's right. But the Bible says, once you decide you're going to separate, once you decide that you're not going to go that direction, you've got to go another direction. If you're going to separate from that, then the Bible says that we depart from evil. What does the Bible say? And do good. You can't just be in the middle. The Bible says if you decide that you're going to live a separated life, how do you know who to separate from? How do you know what to separate from? How do you know what's right and wrong? His delight is in the law of the Lord. His happiness and understanding and wisdom comes from the Word of the Lord, from the law of God, from the first book of the Bible to the last book of the Bible, and every verse in between. We study the Word of God. We're studious students of God's Word and saying, I'm not dissatisfied with what the preacher says, or just what my parents said, or just what the teacher said, or what just that program said. I want to find out the Bible. His delight is satisfaction. The studying, satisfied student of God's Word is how we get to the point of growing. We're not going to grow as a church if we try to preach without the Word of God. We're not going to grow as families if we try to just do a bunch of fun stuff and just entertain our young people till they're 18 years old and go off to college or get a job or whatever the case might be. Well, if we just do a bunch of fun things, we'll have some good memories of their family. No, we got to be people of the Bible. That's the importance of God's Word in a family. The godly man's path is one of separation, but the godly man's pleasure is one of satisfaction. It's one of studying. It's one of saying, I'm going to be what God wants me to be, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I find out what I'm supposed to be from His Word. And I find out what I'm supposed to do from His Word. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, Preacher, do you believe in getting a word of knowledge from the Lord? Like when you're preaching, does the Lord just give you a message? And that's a tricky question because the way people are using that today is it's an extra inspiration of Scripture, meaning it's a they're being inspired to say something that is Scripture, but it's not found in the Scripture. And they call it a word of knowledge. I believe in a word of knowledge, but I believe that word of knowledge always has to come from God's Word. I don't believe that God is delivering to me as a pastor, and I certainly don't believe that God has ever delivered to me something that is above Scripture. The Bible says that God has elevated His words above His own name. So for somebody to say they got something above Scripture, they just elevated themselves above God Himself. Because God said, my word is so important. I'm elevating this. I want you to think of this book more important than my name. People on TV, I want to thank God. Do you ever get in this book, Thanker of God? You could say God's name all day. You could say Jesus all day. You could say Christ all day long. But if you're not a studier of God's word, you're not on your path to production. You are not on the way to prospering. Because the people that are on their way to prospering are people that are not only separated, but there are people who are studious. There are people who find their satisfaction in knowing what God says. How much stronger is our faith when what I'm saying matches what God has already said? That's where our faith is strengthened. It's not, I said something and then it came. So many people live by feelings and emotions. Well, preacher, I know what you said and I know what the Bible says, but I'm telling you, one time when I was 8 years old, wait a second, God's Word is elevated above His name. You got to find it in His Word. You got to be able to say, God, I need to see it in Your Word. The Bible says we compare Scripture with Scripture. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things. The God's Word is so important, and it is key to our growth. I would say this, our separation is the sunlight to our tree. But our studying of God's Word is the water that nourishes the tree. If all you have is sun and no water, you have a dead plant. And if all you have is water and no sun, you have a dead plant. My friend, the Bible says you're going to be truly happy, truly prosperous, truly blessed, truly be able to see what God's doing in your life when you decide to live a life that is separated from the counsel of the ungodly, separated from the way of sinners, separated from the seed of the scornful, and studying the law of God. It's your delight. It's your satisfaction. It's your pleasure. The godly man's path is one of separation. The godly man's pleasure is daily in the Word of God. Would you stand together with the word of prayer this morning?